I love to hear testimonies like that young fella in Lisburn on Thursday night. I love to hear human interest stories, how people lived and the circumstances God arranged whereby they came under the sound of the gospel and were converted. My father was a motor mechanic. Not all his working life, but at the end of his working life, he was a motor mechanic. He worked with his brother in a little garage in Robert Street, Newton Ards. And sometimes when my father was working on a car, when he was coming home for his dinner, he would come home in the car he was working on. If you know anything about Newton Ards, there's a florist shop in Newton Ards called McDonald's. And John McDonald was among the people called Brethren. And he's now with the Lord. I remember my father saying to me, "I went out and listened to that tape that John has in his car." And I went out and turned on the ignition and turned on the tape. And it was Dr. Paisley. And I remember he was preaching on that tape on the subject, the conspiracy to kill the preacher. It was when the men took a vow, remember, in Acts, where they wouldn't eat until they had put Paul to death. And I had never heard the like of it. And there's me sitting in somebody else's car, a brother man's car, that my father had driven home at dinner time, listening to the word of the Lord. And it's just wonderful to hear the testimonies of people and how they were brought to the Lord, various circumstances that brought them to the Lord. And it does encourage us to, of course, see that God can work in many different ways and with many different people, and how there can even be a chain in each link in the chain as people are spoken to of the Lord and brought to Christ. It's good to hear a testimony, but there's a danger. There's a danger. And can I share something with you? That verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, that verse troubled me for about the first 5 or 6 years of my Christian life. Because sometimes we would have somebody come along to Newton Ards, or maybe I was at a mission in some other place, and some brother would get up into the pulpit, they would give a testimony. Perhaps somebody who was a drunkard, too fond of the drink, his life ruined by booze. He would say how he had got converted. Maybe he would say something like this, "I haven't touched the drink since," or "I have never been in a public house since that day I got saved." And then they would quote this verse, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And it troubled me. Because I used to think, you know, that's great that that man, he hasn't gone back to the drink. God saved him wonderfully from that particular sinful habit in his life. But what about all the other sins and failings in our lives? And sitting there, I was conscious, of course, of my own. Conscious that the flesh lusted against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. Conscious of those times when I was cold in my own heart. Conscious of those times when maybe it was a struggle. And I used to think about this verse. And can I be honest with you? I'll go as far as to say this. I think, looking back, Satan even used this to discourage me. Because you know, when you look into your own life and you look into your own heart and you look into your own soul, and you sometimes say, have all things become new? And I used to, that troubled me. It troubled me. And then I came to the place when I sat down and I had a real good look at this verse. Of course, I had learned a lot in the meantime, listening to the preaching of God's word and reading good literature and, of course, reading my Bible. And here's where I got this wrong. And I think sometimes, and that's why I said this morning, if you have a problem with assurance, perhaps the message tonight will be of benefit to you. Here's where I went wrong. You see, I looked at that verse and I thought in my mind, that verse is all about sanctification. That verse is not. That verse is all about justification. You see, if that verse was all about sanctification, here's what it would say. It would read, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is becoming a new creation. All things are passing away. Behold, all things are becoming new. In other words, it would be a work in progress. Sanctification is a work in progress, where by God's grace and attending to the means, we die unto sin a little bit more and a little bit more, and we live unto God a little bit more and a little bit more. And we sometimes have our failings and we sometimes have our backslidings, but the Lord lifts us up again and we come afresh to the blood and we ask God's forgiveness and we set out again and again we seek to go forward in the Christian life. You see, this verse is not a work in progress. It's not sanctification. This work is an act done and dusted. Look at it again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. He is. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, this is justification. And of course, the secret of the verse, if I might use that term, are the words in Christ. Any man or woman, be in Christ. He or she is a new creation. All things they're passed away. Not are passing away gradually. They're passed away. And all things are become new. How can that be? And I thought about this. I meditated upon the verse and I thought about it. And let me just share with you how I would speak to someone and seek to explain this verse. You see, when I was born in sin and shaping in iniquity. And let me illustrate it by saying I was born over here. And I was an enemy of God. My understanding was darkened. The God of this world blinded my mind. I had no desire for the Lord. I didn't seek the Lord. I was born over here. I was born in sin. I was born under the dominion of the evil one. We read that in Ephesians, following the course of this world, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Here I was over here in this sinful, lost condition, and no righteousness to fit me for heaven. In fact, in my case, total ignorance of the gospel. and going along the broad road that leadeth to destruction. And we weren't a church-going family. In fact, we used to spend Sundays, in the morning we'd go take the dog a walk, and in the evenings out for a run in the car, and then at night just television, I suppose. I didn't even go to Sunday school much, very, very little. And then, when I left school, I went to work in a place called J.C. Brown's in Belfast, and I met a Christian. I think really the first evangelical, born-again, Bible-believing Christian that I really got to know. A man called George McGilton. He goes to this day. He went then, and he still goes to the Iron Hall in East Belfast. And George was a Christian. And he began to witness to me. And in 1977, I can remember there were times when I got into my room at home and I got on my knees at my bedside. And I'm 17, you understand. And I'm asking God to save me. But I never had the assurance. And then I wrote to Ernie Allen, the Every Home Crusade. I'm sure you've heard of that. They send out millions of gospel literature all different parts of the world. And I wrote off, and I have the letter still that he wrote back to me and sent me gospel literature to help me find the Lord. And then at that particular year, the Free Presbyterian Church, which had been meeting in the Orange Hall, Newton Ards, they moved to Beverley Park on the Bangor Road. They had a portable building. I think it came from Hillsborough. And they had an opening service on a Saturday afternoon. And I remember coming home from work. I get on a 10-speed racing bike. Not that the 10 speeds helped me. And I cycled up the Bangor Road out of Newton Ards. And if any of you remember that day, it was absolutely bucketing. It rained, atrocious rain. And I didn't know where Beverley Park was in Newton Ards. And I remember getting to the top of the North Road, and I hadn't a clue where this place was. I was about to go back home. I was soaked, and I heard something. Because they had put a loudspeaker outside the church in case there were people who couldn't get in. But there's no way anybody would stand out that day. And I followed the noise, and I found the wee portable church. And I remember a man coming to the door, and he says, "Do you want to come in?" Well, I says, I'm absolutely drenched. Well, he says, come back tomorrow. And I did. And I came under the preaching of the gospel. And the Reverend Trevor Baxter was a student minister. And then in September of that year, we went to a mission up in the John Knox Memorial, which was in Clifton Park Avenue at that time. The Reverend Ken Elliott from Portadown was the preacher. And that night, 28th of September 1977, our brother preached on the reasons people give for not coming to Christ. And oh, the Lord spoke to me. I was physically affected, physically shaken. And the appeal was made. I indicated I wanted to speak to someone about this. The Reverend Trevor Baxter took me into the little room, led me to the Lord, and I got saved. And I had assurance that night that I was saved. I remember on the way home in the old bus, we stopped at the Bethany Fish and Chip Shop on the Newton Ards Road. It was the best fish and chips I've ever had. I had just got saved. Praise the Lord. And God led me along. God worked in my life through these various persons and various literature and then under the preaching of the Word. And I was saved. Now, here's what happened. Remember, I'm born in and I'm over here. When God saved me, the Bible says, and it's true of us all who are saved, I was translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's marvelous light and His dear Son. Now, I'm over here. I'm illustrating it. I am now a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, somebody might say to me, well, have you failed the Lord at any time over the years? Yes, but I failed Him over here, not back over there. Have you ever had a doubt? Yes, but I've had my doubts over here, never over there. Have you ever had a struggle? Yes, but I've had my struggle over here, never over there again. That is gone. Do you see it? If any man or woman be in Christ, they are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You see, we're translated and we're now in Christ. And it's a completely new situation. Oh, we're still in this world. But did you notice something in our reading there in Ephesians? Turn over to it again. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And look what it says. In verse 4. You see, the first three verses describe us all and me over there where I was born in sin. But then God, verse 4, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And I had that new birth experience. By grace ye are saved. Notice this. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And if that doesn't describe old things passing away, and all things have become new, what does? Do you understand this? If you're in Christ, if you're a believer, you have been brought into union with the Savior. You're in a completely different relationship to God now. God will always deal with you now in Christ. That's why, praise God, when we fail, there's forgiveness for us because we're in Christ. And the great thing is this, you see, this is justification. And I will not ever, listen to this now, I will not ever be over there again. Do you remember in the old times when a king died and the man would go round the town crier, not the town choir, the town crier, and he would shout the message, "The king is dead," referring to the old king, but then referring to the new, "Long live the king." Strange thing to say, "The king is dead, long live the king," because a new king, and you see the old Stephen Jamieson is dead. I died with Christ. I was buried with Christ. But then, praise God, I was raised with Christ and I'm identified with Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. That's done. Behold, all things are become new. And then out of that justification, then there flows sanctification, which is a life's work. Until we die, fighting the devil, fighting sin, resisting, giving our lives constantly over to the Lord again, constantly coming for His help and for His grace. And the point I'm making is this. If you're a Christian this morning or this evening and the devil comes and the devil might say, you know, do you see what you said there? Do you see what you did there? you're a Christian and you should not do those things. Are you really saved? Are you sure you're really saved? You remember this. You're over here. And that's why the devil's saying that. That's why the devil's saying that. He is the accuser of the brethren. So even keep in your mind that little illustration. You know, we're born here. We're lost here. We don't know God here. We're condemned here. The wrath of God abides upon us. Our hearts are cold and we're dead in sin and our minds are darkened. And we're in ignorance. Oh, but God speaks to us and we're translated. And now we're over here. And it's all new. The old has gone. And it's all new. Because I'm in Christ. You know, in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, I want you to come down to that verse 12. Because there we read this, that at that time, speaking about the time past, ye were without Christ. You see, what's wrong with people tonight in Garva? What's wrong with folks tonight in Newton Ards, across our land? They are without Christ. Without Christ. They don't have Him. They don't know Him. They don't want to know Him. They don't want to have Him. They're without Christ. I was without Christ. So were you. In time past. But then our verse says, if any man be in Christ. Now that's different. And the grace of God brings us from a place where we're without Christ to a place where we're in Christ. Now you realize this is spiritual union. This is a work of the Holy Spirit, the new birth, where we're justified and we're brought into that union with the Lord Jesus Christ and ever will be. And all God's dealings with us and all God's relationship to us will be in the Lord Jesus Christ and never apart from Him. Brother and sister, listen, when God deals with you, it is never, never apart from Christ. It was there, for we were without Christ, but now in Christ. But then look at Philippians chapter 1, the book of Philippians chapter 1, and the verse 23. Apostle writes, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Without Christ, in Christ, and then praise God for that time, that day when we will be with Christ. With Christ at His coming, or with Christ when we're called in death and we go to heaven. And like the saints of the Old Testament, we're gathered onto our own people. We're gathered onto our own people. Oh, to be with Christ. That's the prospect before God's people. Here's the tragedy. Here is the most terrible tragedy that could ever come upon a human being anywhere. There's nothing more terrible than this. A person is born without Christ. That person lives all their days without Christ. And that person goes out into eternity without Christ. And that person spends eternity in hell without Christ. That's a tragedy. That's a tragedy on an immense scale. Tragedy so tragic that we wouldn't want it or wish it on our worst enemy. But how wonderful tonight that Jesus calls us, that Jesus saves us, that the Lord Jesus has that desire to bring sinners to himself, a people to share his glory. And I'm an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and so are you who are saved by God's grace. Do you see this tonight? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. Old things are passed away, it's done. All things are become new, it's done. Because this is our justification, this is our union with Christ, this is our position in the Lord Jesus Christ when we're saved. And in that, then we live and we progress, and we have our trials and we have our struggles, but we're going on, and the Lord helps us and the Lord blesses us until that day he calls us, or the Savior comes and we'll be with Christ, which is far better. Is there anyone in the meeting tonight and you're not yet saved? And you're without Christ? Don't go another moment in that state. Come to the Lord. If we can be of any help to you, we can sit down with God's book. We can read some scriptures. We can pray with you. We can give you literature. But don't go another moment. You call upon the Lord where you are. And you ask God to save you. And you believers, be careful. And don't get your justification and your sanctification mixed up. And always remember, and even use in your mind the illustration I've used tonight, that I'm in Christ, I'm over here. That old has gone. Everything's new. And everything that I do and everything that I fail to do and everything about my walk with God and everything about my relationship to God, it's all now done in Christ over here. What a wonderful Savior and what a wonderful salvation. And you know what God asks us simply to do? Believe. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul? Have you asked the Savior to save you? Have you asked him to bring you to himself? Have you come and said, Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I realize you died on Calvary's cross for sinners just like me, ungodly sinners. Lord, I now accept you as my Lord and Savior, and I rest my soul in that finished work. I believe it's sufficient for all eternity. There's nothing more I need, and there's nothing more you offer, Lord, but the cross, Christ, his sufferings, and his death on Calvary's cross and the precious blood. And if you'll come tonight, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you will be able to testify. And you will be able to say, yes, I was translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son and marvelous light. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord. Again, thank you very much for coming out tonight and listening to the likes of me. But again, if we can be of any help, or if you know, maybe you know a believer here, and you'd like to talk to them, do speak to us, speak to them about your soul.